KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have cloudy skies, and it's 38 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered light rain today, and partly cloudy to cloudy with a high of 49. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. The Iowa Department of Public Health coronavirus dashboard today shows as of 8 a.m., there are 685 additional positive cases of the virus since 10 a.m. yesterday, for a total of 375,849. And there are six additional deaths for a pandemic total to date of 5,689. Long-term care facility deaths account for 2,226 of the total number of deaths across the state. And there remains one COVID-19 outbreak at a long-term care facility. Hospitalization data show 207 Iowans are hospitalized as of this hour, compared to 190 yesterday. 46 people are in an ICU, that's six more than yesterday, and 17 patients are on a ventilator, that's two less than had previously been reported. RMCC Region 4, those hospitals in western and central Iowa, or western and southwest Iowa, show there are 15 hospitalized with COVID, nine people in an ICU, two persons had been admitted, and six people were on a ventilator. 14-day positivity rate went from 4.1% Wednesday to 4.2% today, whereas the 7-day rate went from 4.4% yesterday to 4.7% as of today. We'll get an update on all that those figures at 10 o'clock this morning. Well, Governor Kim Reynolds says federal officials indicate the state of Iowa will receive 25,000 more doses of COVID vaccine next week compared to the state's allotment for the past 2 weeks. The governor says vaccine supply is expected to continue to increase next month.
With this news, I am pleased to say that we remain on target to open vaccination to all Iowans beginning Monday, April 5th.
More than 500,000 Iowans have been fully vaccinated so far, but there are still about 1.2 million Iowans who haven't been able to get their shots.
Once again, there is going to be more demand than supply at first, just as we've experienced each time eligibility was expanded. So please be patient as our weekly allocations continue to increase, so will the number of appointments available, and soon there will be enough vaccine for everyone.
Federal officials say the state should get 128,000 first doses of vaccine next week. That includes 18,000 doses of the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and those doses will be given to employees in designated industries like manufacturing and food processing. Reynolds said Pfizer is working on plans to reduce the number of doses in each shipment from 1,000 down to 250.
And that will be, I think, really instrumental in helping us distribute and meet the need that we're seeing.
With fewer doses contained in each shipment, Reynolds says the Pfizer vaccine can be sent to smaller community pharmacies and doctor's offices in rural areas, which today cannot dispense thousands of doses in the amount of time required. The Glenwood Police Department reports a total of three arrests, two of which occurred on Tuesday. 34-year-old Jason Katusen of Papillion, Nebraska, was arrested for failure to affix a drug tax stamp, a controlled substance violation, and possession of drug paraphernalia. His total cash or surety bond was set at $30,300. And 68-year-old Joyce Germar of Glenwood was arrested for domestic abuse assault on Tuesday. She was held without bond until seen by a magistrate. On March 19th, 46-year-old Toby Blankenship of Council Bluffs was arrested in Glenwood for driving while barred in possession of a controlled substance. His bond was set at $3,000. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported the arrest on Tuesday of 22-year-old Jeremy Rhodes of Hamburg on stalking charge with violation of a protection order and violation of a no-contact order. Deputies alleged that on Monday and Tuesday of this week, Rhodes drove past the victim's place of employment numerous times, revving his engine, and on one occasion circling the block around the business, making his presence known to the occupants of the business and causing the victims to be in fear for their safety. Authorities say Rhodes was previously released from the Fremont County Jail March 19th after posting a $1,000 cash or surety bond for harassment in the second degree and harassment in the third degree, and a $13,000 cash or surety bond for harassment in the first degree, harassment in the second degree, stalking with a dangerous weapon, and extortion. Rhodes was being held at the Fremont County Jail pending an initial appearance before the magistrate. The Iowa Supreme Court heard arguments Wednesday in the appeal of the discrimination lawsuit verdict against former Governor Terry Branstad. The jury found Branstad pushed out Workers' Compensation Commissioner Christopher Godfrey in violation of the Iowa Civil Rights Act because Godfrey was gay. The attorney for the state, Deborah Hewlett, said Branstad reduced Godfrey's salary because of performance on the job and was in his right to do so.
The legislature didn't prohibit a governor from reducing a political appointee's salary within the authorized range and didn't establish a process for the appointee to challenge a governor's salary establishing decision.
Hewlett said there was no evidence Branstad was not allowed to make the salary decision.
Plaintiff's case at trial was focused on proving the governor's rationale wrong, as if there is a right or wrong answer to the governor's salary establishing decision.
Didn't they attempt to show that it was based on sexual orientation?
Well, if you want to get to sexual orientation, there is no evidence in the record that the governor knew the plaintiff's sexual orientation at the time he made the decision.
Godfrey's attorney Roxanne Conlon said the defense reading of the statute is too broad.
The governor of the state of Iowa could announce, according to the defendants, that all public officials, everybody I appoint, is going to be a white male. There would be no legal remedy. That cannot be the law of the state of Iowa.
Conlon says Godfrey was in his position when Branstad was reelected.
The governor did not lower his salary because of performance. The governor didn't know a thing about his performance. All he knew is what some of his big contributors said about decisions that they lost. The governor lowered Chris Godfrey's salary by one-third in order to force him, to bludgeon him, to make him leave.
Justice Edward Mansfield asked Conlon, even if the governor was wrong about performance, isn't it still his right to make the salary decision?
But counsel, doesn't the Salary Act sort of set a collar on what the governor is permitted to do here, and didn't he operate within that collar?
Yes, he operated within that collar, but he operated for illegal reasons. He operated in violation of due process of law and in violation of the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
Conlon also argued Godfrey was operating in a quasi-judicial role the governor should not be allowed to interfere with. Hewlett and her rebuttal said the action was allowable by law.
To establish retaliation under the Iowa Civil Rights Act, the plaintiff must establish that the decision maker was motivated by the plaintiff's protected activity under the Iowa Civil Rights Act. And here, the protected activity in this case occurred after the salary establishing decision was communicated to Commissioner Godfrey. That is when the plaintiff and his supporters objected to the decision and publicized the plaintiff's sexual orientation.
She also disputed the quasi-judicial argument, saying Godfrey's position was not any different than many others who face salary decisions. Hewlett said the decision on whether Branstad made the right decision on the salary is up to voters, and this case was an election issue, and Branstad was elected again. The jury awarded Godfrey $1.5 million in their 2019 ruling. The Supreme Court will make a ruling at a later date. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.